such as Arizona as an example?
The short answer is no. We do have the data that we could do that, but we haven't done that kind of an analysis. I can tell you that there is more inclination to accept the reality and danger of climate change in the Northeast and West, less in the South and in the Midwest, particularly in the South.
Great. Thanks, Connie. The next question is for Cerilli. You mentioned a number of different outreach approaches, infographics, videos, fact sheets that you used. Which have you found to be most effective?
That's a really great question. I think it depends on your audience. If you are talking to the general public, infographics, something that's easily digestible, like a video, tend to be helpful. If you're talking to policymakers, we've also found the infographic to be helpful, but also fact sheets that we can leave behind on a specific topic with an ask. And then for public health practitioners, I know they love their science, so we like to give them a little bit more meat, but not everyone has time to read everything, so a short blog or a blurb on a new report is often helpful. So all of them, all the different avenues are helpful. The other thing that I didn't get a chance to mention is it's also really important to think about reaching out to the same audience through multiple channels, so not just through a report or a fact sheet, but, you know, combine it. Do a report, a fact sheet, and a tweet, so they get the same information from different ways, and it you know, solidifies that information in their memory.
Great. Thanks, Cerilli. And then the next question is for Kristen. And the question is, how did you get data on air conditioner availability?
Great question, and we get this question a lot. We received that data when we went to this city's assessor office. So apparently in the city of Minneapolis, there are assessors that go out to look at buildings and assess them, and there is a database, and one of the things that they collect is air conditioning. So that is how we received that information. I don't know if every city does that, and as far as I know, it's not available statewide. I think you'd have to look for local sources.
Great. Thank you. And we got through those three pretty quickly, so I'm going to ask one more question. And this question is actually for all speakers, so whoever wants to chime in, that would be great. And the question is, have any of the speakers created materials and a toolkit for pharmacists? Many medications, including psychotropic drugs, impact the body's ability to handle heat. So wondering if any of the speakers have created materials or a toolkit for pharmacists. And anybody feel free to chime in.
Yep, this is Kristen from Minnesota. In our toolkit, we have a list of drugs that increase risk for heat-related illnesses. We have not targeted that list to pharmacists. I think that's actually a great idea, but we did compile a list of those drugs.
Great. Anybody else have any thoughts on that question? Doesn't sound like it. Victoria, do you want to wrap it up, or shall I ask another question or two?
I think we should wrap it up in the interest of being fair for people's time. So thanks, Wendy, and thank you again to Connie, Cerilli, and Kristen for your really great presentations. Thanks to the attendees for joining. I'd like to remind you that we have a second webcast in this theme coming up on August 19th, and you can see the registration email or list URL there. Again, everything, the podcast, the audio files, and the presentations themselves will be available in a few weeks on our website, and we will try to answer the questions that we didn't have time to get to in written form on that same website. So thank you again. We hope you enjoyed our webcast, and feel free to get in touch with any of us afterwards if you want to chat further. Thanks.
This concludes today's conference call. Presenters, please hold.